Technical Production, Edition and Music Selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
I'm Paul Kaltenbach, live in Hell's Kitchen, New York City, and you're tuned to International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and our show for Sunday, April the 18th, 2021. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and we thank you for joining us on our weekly half-hour program of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com is the email address. We are live streaming and archived at ckut.ca, and our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We have a few new members this week. We welcome Donnie, Max, and Patrick. And our YouTube channel, our latest edition. We now have our official identifier for our channel, so you now can simply go to youtube.com/International Radio Report, and you will find our page where each of our shows is posted up to the YouTube channel within an hour or so after the show airs on Sunday mornings on CKUT.
And we will have a little change. I will be putting every month in a playlist. So what is going to happen soon is when you want to listen to, for example, March 2021 shows, you'll have a playlist with the shows for March only. So you'll be able to do it by month if you want.
Yep, that'll be another extra little added attraction that people can use. So yep. Lots of flexibility with all these different options for you to get to the show. We've had a number of people comment on how quickly they adapted to the YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like a lot of them prefer to use that method. Certainly, you don't have any problems with the streaming, which sometimes happens with the CKUT site. The archives don't get up there usually until Monday. So the YouTube channel seems to be the way to go, and it's very efficient. And you can just set yourself up to go there, and away you go. So you've got the show almost immediately after it airs. So that's great. And we love to hear from you. Go and check out the Facebook group. You can post up some stories for us there, or you'll see in-depth stories that we've talked about on the show and other stories that we don't have time to get to on the program in our 30 minutes each week. So check out all those different options that are available to you. We have a number of different stories from around the world today. We'll get things started off with news of a new I guess it's kind of a survey or an analysis of some rather interesting perceptions that people seem to have developed about radio. And this report through Cumulus Media and Westwood One examined these more closely and came up with what the reality is versus the perception. And I think it's quite an interesting story. So it's headlined, Eight Things Brands Have Completely Wrong About AM and FM Radio. And it is from Cumulus and Westwood One via Radio World. They wanted to examine prevalent advertiser agency perceptions about consumer media habits to determine the realities of consumer behavior. They turned to Nielsen, the Federal Reserve, and Edison Research. Why do people think that nobody listens to radio anymore? Because there is a narrative that new media kills old media, so nobody bothers to look at evidence that doesn't fit the narrative. So this is what they've done, and they have, eight different perceptions, and they've sort of countered them with their findings. So number one is, due to the pandemic, no one is listening to AM/FM radio. The reality? AM/FM radio has retained 95% of its persons 18 plus reach and 100% of its reach among those with a $75,000 plus income, which is pretty interesting. Hmm. Number two, due to the pandemic, everyone's working at home and no one is commuting. The reality? For the U.S. Federal Reserve, 60% of U.S. workers are commuting every day. Only 24% of workers are working from home every day. Perception number three, AM/FM radio has very low reach. The reality, 88% of Americans are reached by AM and FM radio weekly. Perception number four, audience shares to Pandora and Spotify are nearly equal to AM/FM radio. The reality is the audience share of AM/FM radio is 21 times larger than Spotify and 10 times larger than Pandora. In the world of the connected car, the number one thing people do in their car is to stream online radio on their smartphones. That's the perception. Reality, AM/FM radio rules ad-supported audio in the car. The next perception, today's optimal media plan. Put all your money into TV and digital advertising. The reality, adding AM/FM radio to the media plan generates a 41%+ increase in reach at the same spending amount. Next perception, I would love to consider audio. However, there's a total lack of ROI and sales lift evidence for AM/FM radio. And this is return on investment. That's what the ROI stands for. The reality, AM/FM radio delivers excellent return on investment across various categories. Number seven, AM/FM radio listening only happens during drive times. The reality, 61% of listening occurs outside of drive times. Middays and weekends are far stronger than advertisers perceive. And finally, no one under 35 listens to AM/FM radio anymore. The reality, millennials are AM/FM radio's number one demographic. Over 60 million persons 18 to 34 listen to AM/FM radio weekly.
Interesting to see the perception of radio. And, you know, it reaches where we hear all the time. We hear it on shortwave also. It's, oh, well, you know, the internet killed radio, or this new digital media kills radio. And in reality, it's another way of getting what we want, but it's not killing radio. It's adding to radio, I would say. And you know what? I totally agree with the reality side, because if I look, just, you know, yes, you listen in your car, but there are a lot of work environments that have radio that's playing in, you know, the office or in the workplace. And people do listen to the radio at home to get some news. And I think that it is true that radio is still a very big reach out there of people that you can advertise to. And for some reason, there's so many people that are so-called experts that seem to know it all and say that, no, radio is that old thing that nobody uses anymore, when in reality, it's the other way around. It is still very popular.
I think in plants, factories, assembly lines, things like that, I've talked to a number of people who say that each individual at their workstation is allowed to have a portable radio with them. So, you know, if you imagine a giant plant somewhere with a whole bunch of workstations, and everybody's got their own radio on their own radio station that they want to listen to, just take that alone. You know, those people are not going to be streaming stuff. They're not going to be using all these other fancy services. They're going to be using a conventional radio. So multiply that over the, you know, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people working in those types of environments. You know, these reality analysis, they really make sense when you look at it.
Oh, yeah.
And you wonder if the perception is being presented by the people behind those other services that are trying to, you know, steer you and push you into that direction, saying, you know, forget about that old radio stuff. You know, come on over to our side. Well, I thought this was a really, really neat survey and a sort of an investigation into really what's going on out there. So I'm sure the people in the radio boardrooms will be happy to see an article like that.
For sure. So we have news of something that might come back on possibly shortwave in a way, because the National Science Foundation is funding the creation of research observatory at Gaucona, which is the HARP facility. This is via the University of Alaska Fairbanks. A five-year, $9.3 million National Science Foundation grant will allow the University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute to establish a new research observatory dedicated to exploring Earth's upper atmosphere and geospace environment. The Sub-Auroral Geophysical Observatory for Space Physics and Radio Science will be housed at the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, HARP, in Gaucona, Alaska. The facility's 33-acre ionospheric research instrument will be the centerpiece of the new observatory. A second NSF-funded project will add a LIDAR at the site, which will allow the study of other regions of the upper atmosphere. A LIDAR sends pulses of laser light to determine the composition, temperature, and structure of regions of the upper atmosphere from 90 to 150 kilometers. No new construction is expected under the NSF funding to create the observatory, which will be a station at which researchers can monitor and receive data from instruments. The university hopes to add additional instruments over time at the 290 million Gaucona research site. The five-year NSF grant will allow scientists to investigate how the sun affects Earth's ionosphere and magnetosphere to produce changes in space weather. Their work will help fill gaps in knowledge about the region, which is important because ionospheric disturbances can disrupt communication systems and cause damage and outages to power grids. The Gaucona facility is a prime location for the study of the ionosphere and magnetosphere because of its location in relation to one of Earth's magnetic field lines that reaches deep into the magnetosphere, the magnetic field that shields the planet from much of the sun's plasma energy. For over 25 years, UAF, the Air Force, the Navy, and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency have collaborated on ionospheric research at the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program site. As Air Force funding for research and development decreased, the scientific community worked to find a solution to preserve this one-of-a-kind national research resource. So it seems that there's no timeline or anything, but we might be hearing sweeps and pulses and all sorts of these little noise coming from the HARP site in a near future, actually.
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet for quite a while at HARP. There was a little bit of a peak a while back where they were doing a lot of experiments, but then things kind of got quiet. Maybe the money just ran out. So now they're being refunded with $9.3 million, a five-year program. So we have some contact with some people at HARP who've informed us when things were going on in the past. So hopefully we'll get that information again down the road.
Yeah, one of the guys behind a lot of the experiments, Chris Fallon, was actually even in the live show sometimes that I do when the experiments went on. So unfortunately, Chris Fallon has moved on to some other projects, but it's going to be interesting and we're going to keep following. I follow their Twitter page, so hopefully we'll have news when some of the experiments are up and running.
Next, we move across the water to Britain, and a story from Radio Today. 10 more local BBC radio stations are turning off their medium wave transmitters for good this year. BBC Essex, Radio Cambridgeshire, Radio Devon, Radio Leeds, Radio Sheffield, Hereford and Worcester, BBC Radio Stoke, BBC Radio Lancashire, Radio Ulster, Radio Foyle, will all be FM and digital only in May and June of this year. In addition, BBC Radio Wales and BBC Radio Gloucestershire will reduce AM coverage. The BBC's intention to close medium wave transmitters was first announced 10 years ago in 2011. In 2018, the corporation commenced with these and continued them in 2020 across Scotland, Wales, and England. Kieran Clifton, director of BBC Distribution and Business Development, writes, quote, "A large and increasing share of radio listening in the UK, including to the BBC, is digital, and the BBC is committed to a digital future for radio. In recent years, we have made significant investment in local DAB expansion. All of our local radio stations are available on digital terrestrial TV, such as Freeview, and we have transformed our online and mobile offering with BBC Sounds." So this is a lot of stations turning off AM and going to FM and digital only. AM band is going to be kind of empty when these stations disappear.
Yeah, the slow decrease of medium wave and long wave. It is interesting here to see the BBC expanding on DAB digital broadcasting. When Ireland, we had that news from Ireland where they actually are kind of moving away from it because they have nobody listening. So I guess they there's different viewpoints here of, you know, how DAB should or should not be part of the experience. Really interesting.
At least they're leaving them on FM.
Yeah.
That's one good step.
Absolutely.
But if it's, you know, that means they're only one step away, though, from going only digital.
Yep, absolutely.
If they decide to pull the plug on FM down the road as well.
So what's happening with the sun? Well, we've got a sunspot, IR-82814, and as we're recording, two other sunspots are trying to get on the solar surface, which means that by today, Sunday, when we're airing the show, there could be three sunspots on the sun and a little more activity. In the past week, we had a little bit of unsettled conditions, but overall conditions were still pretty good and had a lot of fun. Personally, I had a lot of fun, like I usually do on the radio, with lots of stuff to listen to. We have the solar flux, which is kind of low at around 72, 73. There is a solar wind flowing from a southern coronal hole. Could be affecting us today, April 18th. So if conditions are not up to par, I don't know why, but it's always on Sundays that the solar wind always hits for some reason. So conditions today and tomorrow might be a little difficult, but overall things should be good. And of course, you know, don't look at the numbers all the time. Turn on the radio, tune the dial, listen, and you'll see there's a lot of stuff out there.
This is Larry Will of Mount Airy, Maryland, and you're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal.
We take you next to an area of the world that's being monitored very closely, and that's the country of Myanmar. And Gilles, you have a story of some people taking a big risk.
Oh, yeah. And I was hearing a news report actually today on the situation there, which is really, really horrible and difficult. So young Burmese activists are broadcasting anti-coup message on pirate radio. This is via rest of the world. In a safe house in Yangon last Thursday morning, a small group of 20-somethings gathered to assemble a portable radio transmitter. For several hours, they broadcast translations of international news into Burmese. Tributes to protesters killed by the armed forces, revolutionary songs and poems, and interviews with the leaders of Myanmar's civil disobedience movement that has sprung up to oppose the military junta that seized power in February. Then they dismantled the equipment, each person taking a different piece by a different route to another safe location where they store it. Security is tight. They never broadcast from the same place twice, and the group uses aliases even among themselves. This is Federal FM Radio live on 90.2 MHz. Its name betrays its politics, support for a federal Myanmar, one which rejects the state's majoritarian Bamar identity and strives for true ethnic unity, as searched in the months since the coup. It is a message that does not sit well with the military government, which has responded with violent repression and internet blackouts. But young dissidents like these refuse to be silenced and have turned to old technologies to spread the word. This radio was born out of Myanmar Spring Revolution, said one of its founders, who goes by Mulan. This is Revolution Radio. The junta has imposed nightly internet blackouts to disrupt the protest movements, preventing people from organizing and communicating with the outside world. Social media platforms have been blocked, although many people continue to access them through virtual private networks. However, on April 2nd, the mobile internet in Myanmar was completely switched off, fixed-line connections are rare, and the move left millions of people unable to access news or to communicate with each other. In the vacuum, the state media has broadcast propaganda that underplays the scale of the crisis, portrays protesters as terrorists and foreign agents, and blames the civil disobedience movement for recent violence on the streets. Our people need to get informed, real information, because the military spread out fake news on their own media, Mulan said. She and her colleagues were able to source radio equipment from a friend of the movement. They won't say precisely who for obvious reasons. The team is entirely made up of young, digital natives, and most of them were working for civil society organizations before the coup. None of them knew how to operate the gear, but they found technicians willing to train them. So now we are learning like a radio crash course, Mulan said. During Myanmar's last period of military rule between 62 and 2011, radio played a role in distributing anti-government messages. Activists set up transmitters in Thailand, which they used to get around the junta's tight controls of the media. The army's disruptions to social media and the internet has led activists to look again at radio, as well as handbills, printed bulletins, and mass SMS alerts. Federal FM radio's broadcasts are a mixture of practical information for people caught up in the violence, inspiration and encouragement for protesters. It's also a source for news, reports, and didactic programming about the need for greater representation of Burmese politics. Federal FM radio, with its low-tech approach, has the great advantage that it is hard to block without physically locating the equipment. They are currently raising money from donors to try to acquire more transmitters so that they can set up alternative sites around the country, increasing the range of their broadcasts and making the organization harder to dismantle. We want to broadcast to all states and all regions nationwide. We want to broadcast because we want to win and we want to end the dictatorship, Mulan said. We are not trying to be arrested. So this is a very interesting story. They are taking big chances. I find it interesting to see that everybody goes away with one part of the transmitter so that if one gets arrested, they don't lose the full transmitter. But it actually plays a big role. It shows radio is extremely important when something is happening. And it's often the only way you get news because the internet gets cut off and you got nothing else than radio when that happens.
Yeah, it shows the control that the military in this case has over accessing the public. If they control the conventional sources of information, it's going to take clandestine broadcasts like this to get messages out. And of course, people will have their radios. You know, they may be little portable things, they may be battery operated, solar powered, wind up, you name it. But chances are those people have those radios and they rely on those broadcasts. So Getting the news out to them to let them know that the station exists is risky business too, though.
Yes, absolutely. It's more by chance almost, you know, because they probably have these flyers and information, but they have to be careful because it's easy to pinpoint, especially on FM. And that's where, you know, shortwave is also a nice way to get news because it's you can be outside of all of this and broadcast to the country with news. And there are major broadcasters like the BBC and even Voice of America that are actually broadcasting news to them to help out. So that also probably does play a role for some people that have shortwave radios. And that at least cannot be controlled. But, you know, seeing that these young people are actually doing this, not knowing anything about radio, they're just learning that, oh, look at that, there's, and I like the fact they always say the old technology of radio.
Exactly. Yeah, it's only, yeah, it's old. It's well over 100 years old, but it still works today.
Still
That's
works.
The key.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we will wrap up today's show with our list of upcoming ham radio contests, and we have four of them coming up on the weekend of the 24th and the 25th. First off, we have the 1010 International Spring Contest. It's a digital contest from 0001 Zulu to 23 on the 24th to 2359 Zulu on the 25th. All stations should operate in a digital area of the 10-meter band only. And you can use any of the digital modes, RTTY, PSK, et cetera, and we'll have the link for this and all the other contests on our Facebook page for you.
There's the SPDX RTTY contest going on from 12 hours Zulu, April 24th to 12 hours Zulu, April 25th, sponsored by the Polish Radio Videography Club. Bands 3.5 to 28 megahertz without the warg bands, and the mode will be RTTY.
Out of Switzerland, sponsored by the Union of Swiss Shortwave Amateurs. I like the way they combine shortwave and amateur together there. They are having the Helvetia contest, 1300 Zulu, 24th of April to 1259 Zulu, April 25th. The Helvetia contest is open to amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners in Switzerland and in other countries. It's all of the major HF bands, no warg bands, and this one is all modes, so you can use the mode of your choice.
There's the Florida QSO party, 1600 Zulu, April 24th to 2159 Zulu, April 25th, sponsored by the Florida Contest Group, the object for radio amateurs outside of the state of Florida to make contact with as many Florida stations in as many of the 67 Florida counties as possible. Florida operators work anyone outside and within Florida. Bands 40 through 10 meters, phone and CW only, no digital contacts.
That'll be a busy one. Lots of hams in Florida for sure.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I have a little, just a little bit of news also that if you are listening to WRMI broadcasts, if you are finding that some of their frequencies are missing, it should get back quite soon, if not already back online, but there was a fire at the WRMI transmitter site. So apparently it was quickly put out. So they said that things should be back to normal quite quickly.
All right. Very good. That will do it for us today. We do remind you of our Facebook group, International Radio Report. You'll see some of these stories posted up there. And we invite you to post some of your own as well. And you can contact us through there as well. And you can listen to the show on our new YouTube channel, which is now simply International Radio Report on YouTube. And we thank all of you for your comments and the fact that you appreciate the new service there on YouTube. We will talk to you again next Sunday morning with the next edition of our show, the International Radio Report, coming to you from CKUT Radio in Montreal, 90.3 FM. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
DX Party Line. This is a program for DXers, by DXers, and about the DXing hobby. We invite you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes for the DX Party Line. the DX Party Line. I'm Clayton Howard, your host, and my wife Helen will be along a little later in the program. And this is rather a difficult or hard, I don't know quite how to describe it, program for us because, as you may realize, some of you I'm sure have heard that we'll be leaving keto soon, and this is the last time that we'll be hosting a DX Party Line. It's going to be hard for us. We're going to miss being on the air twice a week. And
CKUT is hiring a spoken word coordinator. Do you have a passion for storytelling and amplifying perspectives outside of the mainstream media landscape? Are you interested in working at a collectively run, independent community radio station? CKUT's Spoken Word Coordinator is a full-time position starting June 1st that is responsible for the coordination of all CKUT's spoken word programming and is part of CKUT's Collective Management Committee. The position is 35 hours a week, pays $18.36 an hour, and applications will be accepted until 9 a.m. on May 3rd, 2021. Please visit ckut.ca for more details. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
The alert level in your region or a neighboring region is red. To curb the spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends in private homes and yards are prohibited. Travel between regions should be avoided, and traveling to yellow zones is forbidden. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. Visit quebec.ca/coronavirus to learn more about the other measures in place. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.